of our summer small groups, we've been able to increase attendance, which was what we were after, that we would not be, well, we have a bigger church. No, on Wednesday nights, we were dwindling, but because we began the summer small groups that aren't meeting in the house, but they're meeting outside the four walls, we've grown. Isn't that great during summertime? I mean, it's healthy growth, and it's, thank God for it. I had a good report on a group that meets every Friday at the adult daycare. Estella actually oversees it, but the group was like 21 of the adult daycare people came and heard the word of God, worshiped God, and then one person came to Christ in that group. Amen? And so thank God that meets every Friday, and that happened just this past Friday. I got a good, there's another group you might say, well, I don't get into the Bible that much. Well, you should. You're a Christian. But there's one group that meets, and there's disc golf. They meet every Saturday morning at a disc golf course, and you can go be part. They'll share a little bit of the word. Then we open up with a scripture. I've been to it, and then we pray, and then we do the 18 holes or the 9 holes or whatever they are, the baskets. There's a group that does a fit group, and they walk and do fit things at O.P. Schnabel. That group's grown, and we reached more people by leaving the church than if we would have stayed here. Isn't that amazing? And so that's what, we're going to continue with small groups in the summer and when we start the school year. But what you'll realize is there's only a few that meet during the summertime. And so we have many more that meet in the summertime in calendar settings. And so I want you to make sure that you're part of what God's doing. And God's doing small groups right now in our church. You should at least go to one small group a week that's called Living Faith, okay? God bless you. That one said amen, or one looked at me a little bit strange. Welcome to Living Faith Church, amen. We want to welcome our first-time guest. Come on, yeah, she has it, amen. Just me and you, sis. I'm glad, man. I want to take you on the revival. When I go to those crusades, you're going to come with me because you'll stir the crowd. Amen. If you're visiting for the very first time, I'd love to just shake your hand in the cafe. I'll be there immediately after service, and we thank God. So if you're here, we're honored that you're here, first-time guest. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. And let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. Amen. Show me the first slide, too. Do you have your message notes? If you need your message notes, raise your hand high. If you don't have them, we have a man ready to give those to you. He's a blessing to us. 100%, 100%. Because it's going to make this three-hour sermon seem like 1 hour if you got it. But you're going to need it. You're going to need it with you. Those on Facebook, I think they're downloaded right now in the comment section. You can follow along. We made that way easy for you all. So we're blessed that you're here. If you're ever in San Antonio, or if you're ever not having a church in San Antonio, we'd love to be your church. You'll meet the great people of Living Faith Church. They're full of faith. Their faith is alive, and it's faith that you can see. Thank you, Jesus. We're in the second part of our marriage series, and it's called Summer Love. And there's nothing like a hot, juicy love story, maybe a little bit of scandal. So we're digging back into some of the greatest biblical marriages that were good, and then some were bad. And we want to travel back in time, because there's a lot of drama that happened. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, our theme scripture for the marriage series, Summer Love, it says this: man exclaimed, Adam exclaimed, at last, this is the one that is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, you know, because he saw her, because she was taken from man. And this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined with his wife, and the two become what? United into one. Two become one, and that's incredible. I think the basic problem with the whole dating system that we have in America, which is relatively new to our culture, it wasn't around, not in ancient time, but as early as the 19th century rolled around, the 20th century, that's when it began really to take root and take, because we get deeply involved physically without knowing each other emotionally in relationships, or we don't know each other even to the fact of spiritually. You've heard the old saying, you don't know somebody till you live with them. Amen. Right? So we do live with each other even out of the context of being married, a holy matrimony, but even that, biblically speaking, as it's set up in Genesis of marriage and God's picture of marriage, in God's way of marriage, two becoming one, literally is not something that you find in a dating process. they preempt it, but it's not meant because God ordains marriage the way we've learned it to be, and the way it's positioned to be through the Bible. And so the spiritual aspect of it is very important. And you'll only find that when you make covenant before God and man in the house of God. JP's great, but you do it before God Almighty. And so I encourage everyone that hasn't gotten married, get married in the sight of God and man. Amen? Amen. You ought to have a church. And now, if you don't like this church, I know at least 5 churches that Irma and I would love to send you as missionary. No, we'd love to send you there because they're great pastors. And this might not be your church, but you need to be part of a church. And so the thought is this. I didn't realize the importance when I stood before God and man, and my pastor led me in the vows towards my wife, and I put a wedding ring on her finger. And I did this many, many years ago. But when I was at that altar, something happened to me. And I think everyone that's gotten married at an altar, you realize the gravity and the weight and the fearing God, because you're making covenant, not a contract. Right, everybody? Amen. Do you remember that moment when you said, I do, amen, until death do us part? And you meant it, right? And so the scripture right here, because I'm going on a little bit more probably than I should, is it's not an emotional thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. See, when I bless my wife because I'm one with her, and just like you bless your wife, you bless yourself. Amen. But the weight of it is when you curse your wife, or you curse your husband, lady, you curse yourself. And so I'm so thankful for the covenant of God, because the blessing comes when I bless my spouse. If I mistreat her, neglect her, I get mistreated. Why do you think you're all messed up when you're arguing? You're mistreating yourself, or you're backbiting, you're talking about him behind his back, or she's talking behind you. You don't feel right because something's not right in you. You've hurt yourself. You've cursed yourself, right, everybody? But let's take it the pot. I bless myself. Amen. Hey, honey, you look awesome. Amen. You're a blessing to me. Man, you look good in those red slacks. Give me a good amen. Right, everybody? Yeah. It's just, I got some brownie points. Give me a good amen. Which I'll take advantage of later. Give me a good amen. Summer love to Ahab and Jezebel. Turn to 1 Kings 21 in your YouVersion or your Bible Gateway or in your Bibles, and it's also going to be on the big screen in a moment. And ladies, I need some participation in the house, so I'm going to ask you a question. I want to ask you to be honest in the house of God. So perhaps often or occasionally you battle with the need to have things the way you want them to be. You're a little bit controlling. Ladies, you like to take control of the situation. Would you raise your hand in the house of God if that's you? There's one lady, a couple men, almost 100%. The rest of y'all, I guess, you're going to go to Washington because you're liars. Amen. You'll be our congresswoman. Amen. We're not going to be left out, right? Ladies, you don't want to. So gentlemen, you're aggressive in your business, at your workplace. You have great hobbies. You love rock climbing. You do it to the full. You're aggressive in it. But occasionally, in important areas, like your home, your marriage, you're a little bit too easygoing. You flow with the go, and you're passive even. Guys, would you passively raise your hands if that's you? Anybody? Yeah, okay, one guy is being honest. Amen. Maybe we have some congressmen in this church. Now, ladies, I want to ask you this right now. If you're sitting next to a real passive guy and you're real controlling, why don't you just go ahead and raise his hand like this? Okay. I'm going to go with you on a journey, and I'm going to study through the Word of God the subject of a passive spirit and a controlling spirit. And they're in life, and they're interchangeable. You say, well, she's controlling and I'm passive. No, I've seen controlling men, and I've seen controlling women. I've seen passive women. I've seen passive men. And it's a spirit when we deal with it today. One of the worst marriages in the Bible is the one we're going to look at today. And you're going to look at this marriage and say, hey, we're not doing so bad after all. After you see these people, it's a marriage between King Ahab, and he married in an alliance so he could gain more kingdom, more territory. A lady by the very annoying, very evil, her name was Jezebel. And even if you don't read the Bible, Even if you don't know anything about church, you've heard the name Jezebel because you've heard she ain't nothing but a Jezebel. One guy's being brave today, amen? Because it's a spirit. And King Ahab, the leader of Israel during this time, he was the seventh king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And so he ruled for about 20 years at home. He was a strong leader militarily, like a lot of men are strong leaders in their workplace, like a lot of men are strong leaders in strategy and what they do. But when it came to the what was most important in life, his home life, his marriage, we see that he's very passive. And so I might even say, well, now this guy was a wimp. Let me tell you how important he is in the history of Israel. Who would you think in all of Israel gained the most territory during their kingship, during their monarchy? You know, David pops up probably, Solomon. In the order that they gained most was Solomon was the most territorial guy that gained the most in the kingdom of Israel. His kingdom expanded under his reign more than anyone else's kingdom. So certainly David has to be the second guy. You know, it wasn't David. It was this guy, King Ahab. And it shows he was very military oriented. He was very skilled in diplomatic affairs and being a warrior. Three was David, but two was King Ahab. And you can be a strong leader in your workplace, in the appearance, but when it comes to what's most important in our lives, God is calling you not to be passive, but to be the man of God in your home today. And so the Bible says of how he could have led Israel in a time of revival and renewal, how he led them away. And it says in 1 Kings 21, 25, are you there with me? Yes?
Amen.
Let's read it together on three. One, two, three, go. No one else sold as Ahab did under the influence of his wife, Jezebel. Notice he didn't do it alone. Jezebel literally means Jezebel, Baal, because the worship of Baal, the god. And again, she came from outside the camp, and they married, and they gained more territory, and there was an alliance made, and it was. But what she brought into the marriage was influence that was not of God, and he allowed it. And so I want to look at common problems in the marriage, and you have it right there at the heading. These are common problems. Ahab represents the passive husband, and Jezebel represents the... And again, these are interchangeable. I've been passive at times, but I've also been controlling, and my wife can say amen. And she's been controlling at times, and she's been passive. I think every marriage goes through these. They're not of God. No one's arrived at Living Faith Church. The only rule that we have at Living Faith Church is, well, really two, that you wear clothes when you come in here. Amen. And the second thing is that there's no perfect people allowed, because we're all imperfect people in this room. Needing a savior, needing help in our marriages. No one's arrived. And so let's look at the passive husband. So I make some guys mad. And then I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'll offend some women in a moment too. But let's look at the passive guys. You guys can take it. You'll come back next week, I hope. Amen. King Ahab had this neighbor, and his name was Nabob. And Nabob had this really sweet vineyard that the king wanted. And I always thought, you know, he's the king. He can take whatever he wants. It's not like you have to vote or anything. You know, he was a monarch. But he asked. And so the sweet vineyard, he wanted it for himself. And so 1 Kings 21, 2, are you there with me? Yeah? Hear the word of the Lord as I proclaim it. Ahab said to Nabob, let me have your vineyard for the use for a vegetable garden, since it's close to my palace. Now, there's a spiritual principle here that we have to look at about what he wanted and what his... Ahab had this chick thing. And the chick thing that he had in his life was he wanted a vegetable garden. Okay? He wanted that, and that was his chick thing. You can come to Living Faith Church and have one chick thing. If you have more than one chick thing, then you're not allowed here. Some of you guys like your nails manicured? Yeah, that's okay. I'd rather have a UFC fighter punch me in the face than have my nails manicured, but that's me. Some of you guys like, your one chick thing is you cry at movies. You cry, and that's okay. Some of you guys have more hair products than your wife. Amen. How is that? You shaved your head. I don't understand that. So, my one chick thing is I love Broadway musicals. I don't like them to high kick and do the all that stuff, the Celtic stuff and dancing. But I do like the chorus line, and I like musicals. And if Irma and I can go to one Broadway musical at the Majestic once a year, I'm a happy guy because I love sitting at. But that's my one chick thing. If I had two, I couldn't pastor anymore. Do you understand that today? And so let me continue. Are you all there with me still? He wanted the vegetable garden since it's so close to mine. In exchange, I'll give you a better vineyard. And if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it's worth. But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my father." Land was very important. It was more than the millions that they would get in the will. It was land that they wanted. It's still to this day, it's important. And so Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite said to him, "I will not give you the inheritance of my father." And look what he does. He lays there in the bed, sulking and refusing to eat. What do we want to call this guy? If it's a PG-rated sermon, we want to call him a wuss, because that's what he was, right, everybody? It's not a bad word. Don't correct me after service like you did that one time, okay? So we preempt the strike there. Go home and pray for me. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Amen. So he entered business negotiations in a real estate market, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "You know what? Not even, hey, I'll raise the price here. I'll give you more money." He just took it as a flat no, and he went home and sulked. And he said, basically, "I'm going to take my ball, and I'm going to go home and cry in the bed, and I'm not going to play anymore. I'm going to take the ball home, and we're going to cry." And so Ahab knew that he couldn't win, and he basically went and sulked and got angry. And I believe that that's a great picture of marriage today. Whenever a man feels that he doesn't measure up and he can't win, do you know what that man will do? He will exactly do what this man did. He will give up, and he'll go home, and he'll just say, "You know what? I give up. And some of you know exactly that you've had a spouse that way, and he's given up from time to time because he can't. I'll never be like your father. You want me to be like him? I'm never going to be good enough. That's never going to be good enough. And so you can't win, and you crawl in bed, and you take the ball home, and you sulk. It's very, very sad and almost disgusting to see this, but that's the picture of a passive spirit that we have. And by the way, you don't treat the person with a passive spirit or a controlling spirit in rebuke. You treat the person graciously, but you don't have to treat the spirit graciously. Do you understand that today? One of the things I saw in Jesus' ministry, he rebuked the devil, but the person he restored, the person he loved, right? All through the life of Christ, you never see him beating somebody with a Bible or slapping somebody or trying to exorcise a demon by shaking them. He treated them with grace, but he did drive out devils. Do you understand that today? So we're not fighting a person, we're fighting a spirit, even in our marriages today. Is that okay with everybody? And that's why we pray and we do warfare and we thank God. We're not fighting our husband, we're not fighting our wife. We're fighting a spirit because we're wanting to become one today. Man, this is good preaching. Thank you, choir. Amen. I'm getting the pat on the back from the choir. Amen. Because I got 85% of nobody saying anything today.
doing everything you can. Amen. We're good. Let's look at the controlling wife on the big screen. It says this, 21:5, his wife Jezebel came to him. And look at this. Look at the way she talks to him. Why are you so sullen? Why won't you even eat? Now, I'm kind of doing the tone, but I can imagine that's the way she spoke to him. Right, everybody? And he answered, because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, and if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in his place. But this is what he said to me. I will not give you a vineyard. Oh, you know, he's crying big. And Jezebel said to his wife, is this how the king of Israel acts? Get up and eat, you loser. Cheer up. I threw in the loser part. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. You don't want to do this? Move out of the way. I'm going to do it. Ladies, I need to tell you something about your man. He can be very insecure at times. We may look like we have it all together on the outside. We may look like we're strong, but there are points. And that's what makes a good marriage, when you can expose your weakness and you become so transparent. Chuck prayed a prayer a moment ago about just saying, Lord, we're basically bearing ourselves to you right now. That's what marriage is. When you can bear yourself but not be controlled or but not be manipulated, and it comes back to you to bite you, you're that transparent that it becomes a blessing, because there's covering in both ways. Do you understand that today? We go back all the way to the garden, and we see a controlling spirit begin to happen, because in the garden, when God created the heavens and the earth, God kept saying something over and over when he saw the sun. He said, it is good. That's good. Look at the mountain. That is good. Look at the flowers. That is good. Look at the fish. That's good. And he said something, and he paused when he made man. He said, man, it's not good that you're alone, and that's not good. He said, so he sent beautiful Eve, and beautiful Eve was part of his life, and she became his helpmate and his helper. And some women are insulted. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to become that. But it's necessary for you to help your husband, because you're his helper. Amen. And if you don't take that place, he won't be the man that he's supposed to be in his life. He'll always falter today. You take a man that's already weak, and if you put a godly woman with him, not a perfect woman, but a godly woman, that man will become a stronger man in God. If you take a strong man and you put an ungodly woman with him, that man will become weak. Amen? Amen. And so a godly wife will do that today. I need you to look at your marriages today. The Bible says, examine the flock. What is the condition of it? What's the condition of the house of God? Look at it. What's the condition of your home? Let's bring it down, because we all shepherd our homes. What is the condition of your man, your husband today? What is the condition of your wife today? Is she really the bride of Christ? Is she like the church, without spot or wrinkle? Jezebel did in the life of her husband to King Ahab that a controlling woman made a weaker man weaker. She did two actions that proved it. And there's spiritual principles here. We want to look at them. The first thing that she did was she belittled her husband with her what? Words. Jezebel said this to her. Jezebel, the wife, said this. How is it that the king of Israel, how is it that you act like this as the king of Israel? This is not what you should be doing, and you're never right. I can't, I wish, and on it goes. Ladies, you have to understand that you can either build your man or you can tear him. Yeah, some of y'all have the answers. And that's what often happens. Proverbs said this in the Old Testament. The power of the life that you have is in your tongue. And you can either bring life or you can bring death to it. And so you're either going to tear him down or you're going to build him up. My wife is not perfect, but my wife has built me up when I needed to be built up. There was a point many years ago that bivocational, doing what we've done, young children growing up, launching the church and that sort of thing. And I remember sulking and not being angry, but almost being a crybaby, and like, man, I can't do this, and, you know, how am I going to get this done, and you know, and she told me, almost like a coach, and I still remember your words, and they were like this: Mario, this is your job. You have it within you to do. You already have it, and you can do this, hon. And it wasn't this beating. It was the right way to tell me, but to charge me by faith that I had the ability to succeed and not give up and quit. And I remember those high points in my life because they built me and they blessed me today. You say, well, man, I wish I was married to Irma because, you know, I'm married to her and this and that. But the most common problem that I hear in the Christian world is this: my husband is not leading spiritually. He just won't lead me. And you think about that, and the thought in past relationships that we've walked through with people at Living Faith Church has been kind of like this. A guy comes and they're having problems in the marriage and he's not leading spiritually, and he's not. And I'm almost like, yeah, I understand he's not. She's telling on him. And I meet with him privately, and it's like this. I said, can you just do this? Can you say, dear Jesus, help our marriage, help it to become strong? Can you do something like that? He said, yeah, I can do that. And I said, good. Well, go do it. And he goes and does it. And I go, you know, I meet him the next week, and I go, how did it go? He says, you know what? All that happened was when I told her that, when we prayed, she opened her eyes and she said something like this: is that all that you can do? Is that the best that you got? And I was so sad to hear that came back to me on the point of this guy really trying with all of his heart, trying to improve his marriage today. And here's what she should have did. And I kind of think through, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I want to prove a point. When after he prayed, dear Jesus, help our marriage, and held her hand, she should have just put the biggest kiss on his face, on his lips, for 30 seconds and done that. Kissed him as hard as he could, as hard as she could, for 30 seconds, and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. And she, after she took her lips off of him, should have said, that's the best prayer I've ever heard. You did awesome, hon. And because of your prayer, we're going to go on. Now, I'm not telling you to be fake or anything, but you know what I'm saying. Because often, you have to understand this about guys and dudes like us. We're like puppies. And we like to get, when we reward what we repeat what you reward. And sit, boy, sit. And you're going to get a doggy treat if you sit. Paw, boy, paw. And I give him my paw, and I get a doggy treat. And so when I get rewarded, I tend to do the things that are godly again. Give me a good amen. That are right. Amen. A godly woman will make a weak man stronger. A controlling woman will make a weak man weaker. If we crawl, no man can crawl out of constant complaining of a wife today. And you may say, well, it's true. He's not godly. He's lazy. And he's this or that. No man, even a weak man, can't be built up because of the power of a tongue in his life. If he's being bashed, you will destroy your man and he'll give up. I never will forget, years ago, we'd gone through just a time of trying to prevent a couple from being divorced. And we fought and we just thought, you know what? What can we do? And finally, that man was treated wrong. The woman would take over. The wife would belittle him. And the wife wouldn't take his leadership. Now, let me pause and back up. Were there problems with the man? Of course. But the major problem was leadership wasn't being given and relented to by the wife in the spiritual head. And so finally what ended up happening, I can tell some of y'all are shutting off, and probably I can imagine what's happening online right now, but you don't know what I've gone through, so you know you can shut off and not know what you're doing right now. Amen. But I'm going to keep preaching what I know. I remember being in the parking lot, and this is real, and that woman is coming towards me with her car, not to hit me, but she's coming towards me, and she's rolling down her window because she knows it's over and the marriage is over because the divorce papers have been served. And she says this to me, Pastor, weeping, Pastor, I really messed up this time. you know, because the divorce papers were now given to her. Because all along she kept belittling her husband with her mouth and kept taking over situations that weren't meant to be taken over, and she was supposed to lay them down. And the guy just gave up. He tried and he tried and he tried, and there wasn't any reward. Even when there was a little bit of something, nothing was given back to him, and he gave up. And that's what a man will do after trying and trying. He'll just give up. This is the second principle that she did. She took over. And Jezebel does that. Here she goes. Look at what she says in 7b of the passage. I'll get the vineyard of Naboth for you. I'll do it. You loser, just get out of the way. I'll do it and take it over. And I realize that you ladies in this room, you probably had to take over in many instances because maybe he wouldn't work. Or maybe there wasn't spiritual leadership in your home. And I'll speak at that in a moment so you won't be lost today. You might have to do that, but I pray it doesn't end that way. It ends better that way, especially if you're married today and you're trying to pursue God. You may be the only spiritual one in your home during this season, but that can change because I've seen it by the miracle of God today. I love traveling in a car. How about you? And I love that, you know, when I get to be in the passenger seat, I get to, that's why I love Lyft and I love being in an Uber because they take me everywhere and I get to sightsee. But most of the time, my lot in life is to drive my family around because I'm the guy that drives. And so who takes the primary responsibility and has a responsibility in a car? Is it the driver or the passenger? The driver has the most responsibility. The passenger, what they get to do, they get to eat the Whataburger without, you know, the tomato falling out. They get to eat, put the ketchup in the fries and do all that stuff, put some fries in their hamburger and eat it that way. They get to enjoy, they get to sightsee. I didn't know they were building that over there. Wow. And I'm driving, you know, I wish I could see that new building, but I can't because I'm driving you. They get to play with the radio. They get to, you know, they get to text. You know, they get to, and you're up there driving, man, just driving, you know. But that's who takes the primary responsibility. Ladies, at times when you take over the driver's seat. And he enjoys being in that passenger seat because the responsibility is given away. He gets to eat the Whataburger. He gets to text. He gets to sightsee. And you know what? That's an enjoyable position to be in, but it's a false position because you're meant to be driving. And if you take that away from him because I'll get the vineyard, I'll do this, I'll do that. And I realize some of you have had to do that. But if you're in a Christian marriage, things need to change. The seat needs to be switched around. Because if you don't, he's going to relent, and it's going to be harder to get him in that driver's position when it should be in the order of God. Do you understand that today? Amen. And God is constantly wanting to do that today. Maybe it starts something simple like, hey, he vacuums, and he does a good job in vacuuming, but the lines weren't straight. You know, you wanted them going this way, and they're everywhere. Would you just give the brother a break, say, hey, you did a good job vacuuming. It wasn't the way that you wanted it with the lines being that way. How about the dishes and the dishwashers? Oh, the glasses weren't on top, that the universe is going to collapse because the glasses weren't on top. At least he did something. Maybe he doesn't do the dishes anymore because you've badgered him so much about how he doesn't do it right, he just gave up. Maybe it was discipline on the children. He didn't do that right. And over you corrected him. He dressed them wrong. The one time he put the sock on the wrong foot or something. God forbid the wash towels weren't folded right. Give him a little bit of a reward and you'll see your man flourish today. Right, everybody? And we go on today. I love type A ladies. Type A ladies are the type that lead and they do well, even in the church. But what the danger is with type A ladies is if they're married to a passive man, how do they change that? And I really have just two practical things. Ask God to help you. And ask God to help you support his faults because he has faults just like you do. And you do that and you ask God without taking control, without taking over. The second thing that you do, you pray. And then you say, God, I'm going to stay out of the way. And I'm going to let him vacuum the way he vacuums. I'm going to let him do that. And I might correct something. But do you ever wonder how God set his perfect world in order in the book of Genesis? And how we moved away from that standard? In the perfect world of God, in the perfect way of God, it was that the man was a spiritual headship of the family. And the spiritual headship of the family meant that there was order, that his woman, his wife would be the helpmate, but the man would be the spiritual headship of the family, that he would hear from God for the family, that he would leave the spiritual legacy, and he would be the one. See, you don't have to teach a fish to swim, right? A lion to hunt, a woman to nag. No, I wanted to just see if you're awake. Let's see if you're awake, because you see. The same way, y'all looked up, amen. What did he say? No. The same way that a fish doesn't have to learn to swim, a man is wired to lead. You don't have to teach a man to lead. It's within him to lead. Well, he's passive. No, it's within him. Something happened to that man where there's a spirit or there's a damage or there's hurt, and he can recover from that if you help him recover from that today. And so what's the husband's call? He's called to, according to Genesis and according to the word of God today. And it's not that you're coming this way and I'm going to beat you if you don't. That's not biblical. It's mutual submission to God, but the man takes the lead. I put three principles on where he takes the lead. Are you there with me in your notes? Amen. First of all, he takes the lead in provision. He's the provider. He sets the financial tone of the house, the direction of the house. He's called to lead. He says something like this: we're not going to be like every other house on our block. We're not going to be like the rest of the people in the world. We're not going to be upside down in debt. We're going to get rid of debt. We're not going to be having so many material things that we're broke and miserable. Amen. We're going to pay off our debts. And he takes the lead that way. He gives the gift of financial stability. And you know what that does to a woman? It gives her peace. When a woman is financially stable, she's at peace. It doesn't mean that you have to be wealthy. It just means you have to be stable and you go to work every day like all the men of God in this room do, and you're exceptional. It means that you set the tone. You're the man of God. We're going to be a tithing family. We're going to be givers, not takers. We're going to be followers of Jesus. We're going to honor the Lord and our first fruits. We're going to honor the Lord, and I'm going to provide today. Amen. You're going to live under that blessing. The second principle, somebody say protector. That means if somebody breaks in to your house, all the weapons that you have, you're going to beat that person up with those weapons. It kind of means that, but it means more than that. That means that you're going to protect your wife's heart, her emotions, the children that she gave you. You're going to protect your children. You're going to protect them from the temptation. We live in a fallen world, so you protect her. Say, you know what? We're not hanging out with them anymore. Because I'm protecting you from that. You take the lead in that today, and you protect her heart and emotion. I never will forget that man. Wife is crying, and we're together, we're praying, and we're seeking God. And he resolves, he says, you know what? I will stop doing this because I'm protecting her. This is more important than that. As important as this is, she's more important than that. And I respect that, and I honor that, and I understand that. Because he stepped up to protect his wife. And so must every man in this room today. Right, everybody? Amen. Finally, somebody say the pastor. Say, oh, I give up there. I'm walking out now. You know, no, you're not. You're going to listen to the word of God, right? Amen. It doesn't mean that you're a theologian, that you're doing the Greek and Hebrew on the Old Testament. It doesn't mean you're going to read the Bible for 3 hours a day. Nobody's made like that. And if you're expecting your man to do that, you're going to be disappointed. But what it does mean is that you're the pastor, then you lead that way. And you say, we're going to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. Amen. I take the lead in that. She doesn't take the lead. If she has that lead now, get in the driver's seat again. We're going to do it. Our children are going to go. Amen. They're going to go to children's ministry. You're taking the lead in that. You're the man of God. You're responsible for that. Right, everybody? Amen. It could be as simple as just saying this. Hey, I'm going to begin with a prayer. We're going to thank God every time that we have food at our table. We're going to bow our head, you know, do it Duck Dynasty style. Amen. Everyone's going to grab hands and they're going to say, Lord, we thank you for this food. We know that there are millions that don't have food like we did. We had three meals today, Lord, and this is a snack. We thank you for the snack. Amen. And you take the lead that way, amen. You set the spiritual tone for your family. You're the one that does it today. You're active in church. You lead that way. Thank God for the men of God that do that at Living Faith Church. Right, everybody? And God's wired you to take church. Yes, bless the men. Amen. They're incredible men here. They're mighty warriors. Amen. You can do it. You can do this, guys. Men of God, you're in this room. You're wired to do this. You can do it. You just got to do it. As soon as you begin to do it, you'll see, hey, this is natural. Give God control. The wife, give God control. Husbands, give God control. Your wife will respond well if you begin to take the spiritual leadership. She may start to resist a little bit, but a Christian wife, a godly wife, will respond well to the leadership. You haven't done it all. No, it can begin today. Amen. I need to finish up with a story. Jezebel, she's a control freak, and what she does, to make a long story short, she pulls this elaborate evil scheme for Naboth. You can't get that vineyard? I'll get it for you. And so she says, she hires these two hitmen, Old Testament, and she says, you know what? We're going to have a big party. You get them drunk. You get them, you know, people saying stuff, a bunch of mob people, revelry in there. And Naboth, we're going to accuse him of saying something against the king, and that's treason. And you take him out, you two thugs, you two hitmen, you take him out and stone him to death. And sure enough, her plan follows through. He's revelry. There's drinking going on. There's a big party going on. They accuse him, and he didn't. He didn't do this. They accuse him of saying something wrong against the king, treason. They take him out, and they stone Naboth to death. The Bible says this, that who was the one that really devised the plan? It was Jezebel. But who does God hold responsible? God will hold who? Yeah. And it shows really the special role that we have in the hand of God, what God would order in our lives today. It says in 1 Kings 21 on the big screen, you don't have it in your notes, you're maybe looking at extra notes with me today. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up and take your possessions to vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite who refused to sell it to you. He was no longer alive, but he is dead. This is Jezebel speaking. And when Ahab had heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Remember, we did the series on Elijah several months ago, on the prophet of God, how God spoke. In verse 18, the next slide, it says this, go down and meet Ahab, the king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. This is the prophet of God. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take the possessions of it. And say to him, this is what the Lord said, I have a word now, brace yourself. Amen. You have not murdered, have you not murdered a man and seized his property? And then say to him, this is what the Lord says to you. In the place where the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, the dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. Thus saith the Lord. That's ugly, isn't it? Yeah. Technically, who had Naboth killed? Wife. But who does God hold accountable? The husband. See, God holds the husband for following through on sin. There's a special accountability towards every husband if that's being allowed even in your home of things that shouldn't be. And you know that it's not right and you speak into it and you correct it by the hand of God. Again, you're gracious to the person. You're gracious to your wife. I need to learn that. Every man does in this room needs to learn it. No one's arrived. But you don't have to be gracious to that spirit, that demonic spirit. That's when you go into the war room and you become the warrior. You become the mighty man of God and you tear strongholds down. Well, that's not me. It better become you if you want your children to survive. It better become you if you want your marriage to survive today. I'm not saying veins need to pop up on your forehead and your neck needs to bulge like the Hulk. But you need to become the warrior of God that God's called you to be, because he's put it within you to do it and to accomplish what God's. Gentlemen, your role is so important. Step up and take the lead that you're supposed to take the lead. I just want to say this publicly because I don't say it enough. I honor my wife today because she stood by me when I've had these crazy ideas like becoming a youth pastor in Corpus and moving away from security and insurance and healthcare and everything else. And then we had a baby in Corpus and there was no healthcare. And she stood by me during that time because of the call of God on my life. She says, I know, hon, that we may not have this, but God will provide. And it's those sort of words that I know that we don't have it to build a building, but I'm going to stand by your side and we're going to build a building for God. Amen. She's not perfect, but she stood by me. And I want to honor the first lady of the house today, because if it hadn't been for her, I would have quit a long time ago. I'm passive in areas, and she shored me up and said, you don't have to be passive in this area. We can be strong in the Lord in this area and go on, and thank God for it today. Lady, you can make a weak man strong like my wife has made me strong today. You can take the lead. A controlling wife will mess up a man today. Gentlemen in this room today, you can take the lead spiritually in your home. I don't want to make the men of God mad in this house. My dad, God bless him, amen, he's in heaven now. One time I preached a sermon so hard against men that, you know, my dad, he called me up on Monday. And he said, son, don't you know how your mother is by now? And I can laugh, amen. He said, she has problems too. And I knew it. That was my mama. And my dad was all mad at me for preaching against, you know, about what men's responsibility was. How many know the Navas aren't perfect? And I just said, Dad, we need to go on and move on. And I think my dad moved on, amen. He's in heaven now, amen. We're still on this earth. I want to finish well. Amen. I may have not begun well, but I want to finish well. I may have not had the best example, but I can still finish well because the Bible tells me how to do that. Amen. Every marriage may have not begun well. It may not be well right now, but every marriage can finish well. As you go, so goes the house of God. If your marriage is weak, then the church will be weak if you're part of the membership of this house. And I want you to be strong so our church is strong today. Amen. Amen. Yes. Do you receive the word of God today? Yes. Amen. In the name of Jesus, let's pray together. Let's bow and pray. Father, just thank you for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, would you move right now? I've done the best I could, Lord. It's foolishness to you, Lord. In that sense, we do all that we can. Now, Father, your word has been proclaimed, precept upon precept, word upon word, God. The word of God's been read to the congregation. We've looked at principles that we should do. And so I want to pause for a moment right now and consider the word of God and what I should do and what we should do as a church today. For those that aren't married today, I want to pause and pray for you. I want you to build the foundation. You're seeing this, and you may have had some bad leadership in your life today. You may have saw the wrong example. We all have, if you were single, and if you're still single right now. Father, touch the marrieds, touch the single people in this room, our young people in this room, especially if they begin to build and do the right thing, Lord. That they become, the men in this house become aggressive. They become the warriors that they're supposed to be. They lead their home. For the ladies, Lord, in this room today, I thank you, Father. We have great ladies in this room that they support their man, that they become their helpmate today, and they complete that man. They make a weak man strong today. Thank you, Father. Thank you. As I continue to pray, I want to pray for the ladies of faith in this room. There's a divine calling upon your life today to honor your man, to stand next to him as his helpmate today. And I pray right now that you would commit yourself to do that. that you would help your man. I know you love your husband today. Yes. Lord, thank you for our ladies of faith. Help that they're helping their man of God today in this room right next to him. Thank you, Jesus. And gentlemen, you're in this room. Let's go ahead and just call it what it is. Right now, honestly, right now, you've not led the way you're supposed to lead. And you're realizing right now, this can't go on. By the hand of God, I will become the man that I'm supposed to do and be right now. Thank you, Lord. Ask God to help you. Lead your family spiritually as a protector. Lead your family spiritually as a provider. Lead your family spiritually as the pastor of your home. Thank you, Lord. Mark us now as great men, as great women in this community, that they have marriages. They're not perfect at living faith, but they love God and they're pursuing God with everything that they have. I always want to give you an opportunity, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today, to receive Christ as your Savior. Those on the internet today, you can receive Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've wanted to take control for your full life. You wanted to do things your way. And God really just moves away from that. You want God's help today? If you're far away from God, you've never said yes to Christ, this is your moment. You're feeling it right now. And it's God drawing. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And today, if you'll say yes to Christ, he'll come in. He'll take control. And that's what you should let him do, because you can't pay for your sins. It's hell to pay for your sins, and you don't want to pay for your sins. Someone else has done that. Jesus has done that. You're in this room today. Don't pay for your sins. Surrender your life to Christ today. How I do it at Living Faith Church is just, I note your hand. If you'll lift it right where you're at, I'll lead you in a prayer. You'll pray. I'll pray. The sinner saved by grace will pray. If that's you today, you're far away from God, you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. Would you lift your hand slightly and say, that's me. Remember me right now. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand, ma'am. Someone else, just making sure, just scanning, making sure you lifted your hand. Yes. Two people lifted their hand right now. I want to make sure that man, that woman right now is led in a prayer that I prayed. Amen. Let's pray this prayer together, that salvation comes to their house. Let's pray together, everyone in the house. You that lifted their hand, pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear today. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new. I give you control. Jesus, take that wheel. Yeah, drive, Lord. I'm in the passenger seat. Take control. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You're in charge, Lord, of my life. Yes. Now fill the people of the Lord with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. And touch people today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now receive the blessing of God. Just lift your hand a little bit above your lap. Receive this blessing as a gift. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may the Lord give you his peace. Amen. That's how we bless the people of the Lord in this house. Amen, everybody. Let's bless those people that receive Christ in the house. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you're in this room today, fill out a connection card. Let me know about your decision. And we've reached people for Jesus today. Amen. Amen. I want to thank significant people in this room today. Rebecca, Tracy, Howard, Sonia, Nathaniel. They're the adults that led the mission trip this past week. They took time off work. They took time to drive a bunch of young people to a four-hour journey to Donna, Texas, right at the border. And they were there up. They lost sleep. They were on mattresses that were about that thick in a bunk room type house setting. And they did the work of God. And I thank God for the leadership of the adults in this house. They're a blessing to us. Would you honor them and bless them? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. The second group of people that I want to thank that made the mission trip possible are all the people that gave financially big time. You gave.